Hello and welcome to another edition of the Bikepacking Forecast. My name is Mike Ryan and I'm your host for this series of podcasts all about bikepacking in the UK. I've been absent for a couple of weeks and there haven't been any more episodes because I've been bikepacking. Sorry about that. If you heard the last episode, that explained what I'm doing. My own version of Land's End, John O'Groats. That is cycling from home in Areri, Snowdonia to Cape Wrath. And if I can achieve that, then I'll think about doing a journey to or from the Lizard subsequently. If you hear a slight hum in the background, it's because it's the air conditioning in the hotel that I'm in. I love to stay in independent hostels, independent bed and breakfast, use ethically, locally sourced provisions wherever I can. But yeah, you'll be aware that travelling across the UK, that's not always easy. And one of the great fallbacks for cyclists is the Premier Inn, because they allow you to bring your bike into the room. So it's all nice and secure and you get a comfortable bed. So yeah, I'm in a Premier Inn and that's the air conditioning, which is not helpful with the washing that I'm trying to dry, but it's slowly coming there. The other noise that you may have heard at the beginning is the aeroplane, because I'm quite near the airport. So sorry about any background noises. The room is really comfortable. I can't complain. I wondered about staying in Edinburgh itself, but there was no point. It was twice as expensive and I would not have been seeing anything of Edinburgh, to be honest. I wouldn't have been going down the Royal Mile or anything. I can save that and do that on another occasion, probably with my wife. And the room has allowed me opportunity just to have a bath, have a shower, clean some clothes, all the usual sort of stuff, because I really needed a rest. I have had one rest day, but I've done 2 6-day stints and then had a rest day, and that's really, really useful for me. It has been tricky with the weather. As if you heard the last podcast, you'll know I delayed the start on day one till midday due to torrential rain. But that worked out okay. I got to a place called Carrog in the afternoon, which is where I needed to get to. I've got a 25-day schedule. It's not cast in stone. It's a bit rough and ready, but it does help me just keep an eye on whether I'm actually going to be able to make it or not. And the good news is I am on schedule on that 25-day schedule, even though I've had one rest day and I'm having another one today. I'll be slightly behind when I set off in the morning, but such is the terrain, I'll catch that up quite easily, I think, and I should soon be able to build up another half day or so in front so that I can afford another rest day, which I will need. I feel strong, I feel fit, I feel healthy, but I get tired, and certainly towards the end of that sixth day, whilst if it's level, there's another aeroplane going over, if it's level or downhill, I'm all over it. But as soon as any little incline, I'm like, oh my God. And I do have to jump off the bike and push. But I wear walking shoes. You know, I'm not bothered about hiker bike. I don't mind a bit of hiker bike. It allows me to look round. I'm really in the journeying sense of frame of mind. Yes, you want to keep moving on these trips. It's funny. However much you say, oh, I'm not going to be in a rush. Once your wheels get spinning, your legs are spinning, your wheels are turning, you do just want to keep going. It's inexplicable, really. It helps you to understand why road cyclists like road cycling, you know, because you get a move on it and you keep going. And it's not dissimilar when you're bikepacking. And, you know, the last bit here to the hotel, I came into Edinburgh on a disused railway line, converted to a cycle track, and I came out of Edinburgh on a canal towpath, and you know, I could have carried on. It was like, whoa, I could carry on for miles on this sort of terrain, but I knew that I was tired and I would need a break. Okay, back to the beginning. I won't be able to tell a comprehensive story, but I'll try and give you some of the highlights of what has happened and what hasn't happened. I say, on that first day, I got to Carrog, which, if you've ever been on the A5 to North Wales, past Llangollen, there's a place called Corwen. It's on the other side of the valley from those two. Fine little village with a fine little pub called the Grouse. And a good campsite there. I was tipped off by a good friend of mine, Kenny, that there's a campsite there that I could stay at. And as it happened, as I pulled in there, it was pretty wet. It's pretty miserable. The guy who registered me in there is also a bike packer, so he was keen to have a look at the bike, have a little ride. It's got pinning gears, have a little go of those. So that was quite nice and chatty, and he gave me a good deal on a pod, which saved putting the tent up, which was fantastic. I was comfortable, and although it was fairly late, I didn't want to shower, I didn't want to change, so I just went up to the pub, the Grouse, where I had a fine evening meal and then retired to my cabin. Now, day two. On day one, I'd crossed a stream and it had been pretty touch and go. I could feel it pushing my legs, feel it pushing the bike. I'd had to take my shoes and socks off. What I do is I take my shoes and socks off and I carry some Croc flip-flops. They're really handy for these trips. They're great if you're staying somewhere, so you've got something else to put on your feet. They're handy if you're nipping out the tent in the night, you know, nip to the loo or something. But they're really good for river crossings as well. So I take my cycling shoes and socks off. I wear walking shoes, not dedicated cycling shoes, because I do walk quite a bit. I put my Crocs on, roll my trousers up. And somebody said to me, what if it's deeper than rolling your trousers up? Well, the answer is really simple. It's too dangerous to cross, unless it's still water. And you know, it just once moving water anywhere up towards the knee is really powerful. So be really careful with river crossings. I just got away with this one. My top tip is have the bike downstream, because if you do lose the bike and you do lose your footing, I have seen a couple of people get trapped underneath the bike in moving water. So be really careful about that. Bike downstream, use it as a support. Good flip-flops, trousers rolled up, and you can usually get through. I can even cycle a little bit afterwards with my flip-flops on, because they grip really well on the pedals, and that just lets my feet dry out a bit and everything's hunky-dory. Found a little spot out of the wind. It was cold. Found a little spot out of the wind, tucked in behind a wall, and got the shoes I cycle in back on. So what that told me is that the day two plan was not a wise plan, because the day two plan was either across the top of Llantysilio Mountain to Llandegla, or on the bridle way on the north side of Llantysilio Mountain. It's on the Triban Trail, if you've come across that bridle way across the north. There's one locked gate on it, which is a real pain, and has been reported more than once, I believe. But I just knew it would be a quagmire. I just knew I wouldn't be able to cycle. I'd have to walk most of the way, because it had been so wet that conditions underfoot in anything less than a sort of gravelly surface were just impossible. But it allowed me to do something different that I'd actually wanted to do and hadn't done, and that was follow the minor road on the north side of the Dee to Llangollen. And it's a lovely little quiet road. Listen, I only passed one car, so it wasn't like it was a traffic problem, and I really enjoyed that. And it was just it was a miserable drizzly day, so that was a good way to keep the momentum of the trip going, because on day two it would have been not so good to have faltered. From Llangollen, I didn't go into town. I went up Eglwysech Valley. And there's a bridle way up the top that goes into Llandegla Forest. I was a little bit worried about this bridle way. I had a contingency plan to miss it out, but it's paved. There's flagstones all the way from the heart of the road to Llandegla Forest. So that was a real bonus. And it allowed me to just do a little run in Llandegla. It was all still pretty wet and minging. I just popped down the Blue, which is not the best Blue run. It's not like the Minotaur Trail or anything like that. But it was still a bit of fun. And Llandegla Cafe gave me a great soup, actually, for lunch. Soup's a good thing, I find, to eat on these trips at lunch. You set off thinking, oh, I'm going to eat loads of junk food and chips and burgers and stuff, because that's what my body will want. But actually, I find pretty quickly my body's telling me it wants real food, and the, I can't remember, it was cauliflower something and chili soup. It was really nice. Proper natural stuff with a good hunk of bread. And look out for soup. Very often I don't have the soup because I think, what's the point of having soup? It fills you up before a meal. But on these trips, soup's a good option. It's a time to eat soup. From Llandegla, it is a bit laney, but quiet lanes, again, a few that aren't used by traffic. There's one particular bridleway from Glascoed to Freith. Really nice, downhill. Bit rubbly, it's been washed out a bit by the rain. Definitely not gravel bike terrain, but that was a really good run, that was lovely. And you soon drop down onto the Cheshire Plain and you end up in Chester, and it's canal towpath terrain. It's great, it's quick, it's fast, it's lovely, quite enjoyable. But moving north of Chester, I ended up at Stanlow. If you've ridden on the M56 through that area, Runcorn, Chester, Helsby, Frodsham, you'll have seen the chemical works and oil refinery, and I think there's a biomass plant there as well. And I was quite fascinated, actually, about driving through this area. It's all quite pretty impressive stuff. To those of us who are not familiar with that world, it's all a bit space age. Beyond the industry, there is an area marked on the map as birdie, bird reserves. You know, there's quite a bit of marshland and woods and coast there. And I just had a feeling there'd be a bird hide there that I could rest up in a bit and maybe find a sneaky little camp. But there was nothing. It was horrible. I was on this really long track just after the biomass plant. It was just puddle after puddle after puddle. It was really bad. And when I looked to my right, there was a farmer spraying crops in a field. Oh, no, this is no place to stay. So when I got into Frodsham, I'm having a hotel. Frodsham is one of those old places that's got really wide road down the middle. And you know, you have those side bits at the side. You could almost imagine the horse and carriages pulling in there and going into the coaching inns all those years ago, but there was nothing came up. I mean, to be fair, I was just searching on the internet, but no accommodation came up on that street, so I ended up having to go up a bloody hill to a Best Western hotel that was okay, but that was an expensive last minute buy and wasn't a great plan. But early on your trip, getting your rest, eating food, you know, you're banking your body. In an ideal world, you'd do something like ride for a day, rest for a day, ride for 2 days, rest for a day, ride for 3 days, rest for a day, just to build up, you know, but real life's not like that, is it? Anyway, next day was great. Runcorn was a real surprise. Cycleways all the way through Runcorn, full of litter, mind, but that's not unique to Runcorn. And they took me through across the old Runcorn Bridge, which is fantastic to cycle across. It's like two lanes of traffic, but one for cars and one for bikes. So you feel really cool going across the bridge there. They've really done well to empower active travel in that area. And it's good to see. And then Widnes. I mean, you would not expect Widnes to be such a nice place, but Widnes was lovely. Again, you bang on cycle tracks, you're on the side of the Mersey, and you follow a canal towpath. There's this area called Spike Island, a big green area with a cafe that belongs to a boating club where I stopped and had a second breakfast, a bait and butcher in that. And really, really enjoyed that. It was chatty. There was a rock-hard heron on the quayside looking for fish and not bothered by people walking the dogs or anything. So that was good, friendly, quiet, safe cycling. And in fact, all the way really to a place called Hyde, Stockport Hyde, it was off-road. The Trans-Pennine Trail, well worth doing. Absolutely brilliant cycling across the North Cheshire Plain there, along riverbanks, canal towpaths, disused railway lines. You go through Warrington on the banks of the Manchester Ship Canal, there's birds singing, there's greenery everywhere, it's wonderful. And you get to Altrincham, you're on a riverbank, and again there's a riverside cafe with lots of outside sitting, really hospitable, really friendly, really nice. Stockport's a bit of an awkward one. think there was a diversion to the Trans-Pennine Trail while I was there, and that was better signpost than the original trail, so it wasn't too bad for me. And again, soon you're back on a cycle where that leads you round, I say, to Hyde, and I stayed in a Premier Inn in Hyde, because Hyde is a car-dominated place, I'm afraid. It's, you know, this is a story that unfolds. When you kind of look at our country from this different set of eyes, it is so car-dominated. And it's as though the car is part of the person. You know, we are what we drive. We are incomplete without our motor car and probably our mobile phone. And Hyde was the first place where I had to mix with that world, and it wasn't pleasant. Hey, but from Hyde, back onto good tracks, and it's hunky-dory riding again. I had some quite squeaky pedals. It was creaking almost. I wasn't quite sure what it was at all. So I popped into High Peak Cycles in Glossop, and a guy there, he was so busy, but he was so helpful. Massive thanks to High Peak Cycles in Glossop for helping me out a little bit there. That was really good. Recommend that bike shop. Very helpful, but very busy. It didn't quite get to the bottom of the problem, but Rick at, in Greenfield, the Bike Works or something, it's called, he looks at the bike, he said, well, it's no good like that, you need to wash it. Fortunately, he had a hose pipe, and I was able to give it a quick wash down. And he looked at it a bit more, squirted a couple of bits of that PTFE spray, you know, the one that's like WD-40, the red and black one. Sprayed some of that in the right place, and hey, you got rid of the creak, so I was off again. I thought, Rick, fix my bike by looking at it. That was a bit of magic. By now, I'm on the Pennine Bridleway, the Great North Trail, and you just follow that north. You'll have heard before, that's not an easy trail. That's very much a mountain bike trail. There's quite a lot of up and down, and quite a lot of the down's rough, and quite a lot of the up is technical. The difficulty for me was the weather. So it was great weather, it was a hard surface, but as soon as it was grassy, I was off because you just couldn't cycle through it. But alongside Saddleworth, was it Delft, Diggle, Denshaw, all those D places, I've missed one out, haven't I? Delft, Diggle, Denshaw, Dobcross, that was it, Dobcross. But you go through Upper Mill, so you could stop in Upper Mill if you wanted. And that all takes you up onto the Moors by the Stand Edge Cutting. Bit of a big climb up there, but hey, it's a great place to be. Wonderful views across the valley. You're in my home county, Yorkshire, so everything's hunky-dory. Now, there's a wee bit just after Stand Edge Cutting where it drops down the trail and then comes back up. And I had a sneaking suspicion that it would be okay cutting across the top on the Pennine Way. It was wrong, as it turned out. It's really quite a rough trail. It was quite almost impossible to cycle most of it. And with the Venturi effect, I was getting this really strong wind. But what it did is it took me to the A640, where my dad lives, so I was able to pop home and see my dad, which was really nice. And then him and his partner Jen brought me back up to the trail the next day. From there you drop down to Hollingworth Lake, where there's again another great cafe. But it's pretty tough riding here north. You go under the M62, that was cool. I've driven that motorway hundreds of times, so to actually just bob underneath it was amazing. And then past Littleborough to a place called Summit. I think it's Summit of the Canal, the Summit of the Rochdale Canal. And what the Pennine Bridleway does is do a little loop up the other side of the valley. But I knew that was superfluous. I just stuck on the canal towpath and missed that bit out. But then you climb again to a place called Mankinhalls, and that's well worth doing. That's really pretty up there. Good pack horse trails or single stone tracks. And then you get a really quick... Oh, well, it was good to see people. There were a lot of people out running. Was it Saturday? Can't remember now, but there's a lot of people out and about enjoying the weekend. Go past Studley Pike Monument. Good trails. Well, they're still a bit iffy. Cloud was down on the top, but a good fast descent down towards Hebden Bridge. And fairly early on, I decided it was a good move to book a hostel in Hebden Bridge. My body's not really attuned to the camping just yet, And, you know, when there's a hostel there at hostel prices and a nice hostel at that. Although, again, as ever, it was uphill from the town centre. So I shopped in the town centre, went up to the Hebden Bridge Hostel, which was lovely. Really recommend that. They were very accommodating, very friendly, and very clean and very reasonable. Had great chat to a few people doing other things. Some other cyclists there were doing a big event the next day, which was Sunday. Quite different to me. They were road cyclists, so they're these bikes you could pick up with one finger, whereas mine, it takes two people to lift, you know? I exaggerate, but it was a big contrast. Hebden Bridge, that was great. From Hebden Bridge, you can cut back up a little track back onto the Pennon Bridleway, and you're heading across to Gorpal and Widder. Really wild, beautiful, beautiful tracks up here. I thought the bit from Widdup, well, at first, because it goes west and drops down and comes back up, I thought, I'm not doing that. I'll just follow the road. But no, it's good. I'm really glad I did it. Past Gorpal Upper and then some fantastic tracks leading north. A really good section. You pass a place called Earby, which has got a hostel. And what I did is I actually detoured into Barnoldswick, where I got some food from the co-op that was just shutting. It was Sunday afternoon, so it must have been 4 o'clock, and I have a friend who lives in Settle, and I wondered if I could get to Settle that day. So I didn't quite retrace my steps back onto the Bridleway. I took some lanes and rejoined the Bridleway at a place called Paythorn, and it was a really good move. Because a lot of the trail there is through fields, and from Paythorn to Long Preston was torture. There's no other way of putting it. I hardly rode the bike at all. I was wading through mud, absolutely impossible to ride in it. It was just plod, 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 plod. Just keep moving, plod, 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 keep moving. Cycle where there's a little bit of gravel, a little bit of tarmac. But it's plod, plod, plod through the fields to get to Long Preston. But by then, of course, I knew I could make it to Settle and spend the day with my friend and have a day off on the Monday, which was lovely. From Settle up through the Yorkshire Dales, you go up from Settle and drop down to Stainforth. I went over a road, I don't know if you know it, from Clapham to north of Horton in Ribblesdale. Not quite Ribblehead, goes between those two and then goes up the big hill. Is it Cam End? Yeah, Cam End. It's a good track up there, and it leads to Great Dodd Fell, where a fantastic gravel road drops you down into Wensleydale. Could have gone into Hawes, didn't bother. Got some water in Apposet, just asked a couple of ladies out walking the dogs, excuse me please, anywhere I can get some water from. And one of them's brother-in-law lived right next to where we stood and had an outside tap, so that was awesome. Managed to make a wild camp, shouldn't tell you exactly where, but up on the moors there, heading north to Kirby Stephen. You don't go into Appleby, you go to a place called Dufton, and again, this is quite a well-known road, up Tarmac Road up to a mass right on the top of Great Dun Fell. And that's hard work. That's, for me, I was half cycling, half walking. It's obviously one that roadies go and time trial on, and best of luck to them. I could have cycled if I was a bit fresher, but I wasn't. I was tired. And I was thinking there'd be a reasonable downhill on the other side, and I was so wrong, because there are some mine workings just over the top right, but those mines must have been worked by miners from the Dufton side, not the other side, which is the Alston side. And therefore the tracks initially down the other side were pretty poor. And again, there's a lot of walking, a lot of bog trotting, a lot of river crossings. Managed to do them without taking my shoes and socks off, skipping across the odd boulder here and there. Wasn't too bad. And that takes you to Carrigill and down to Alston, where I got a really cheap hotel in Alston. It's like a closed pub, the Victoria Inn. It was clean, it was cheap, it was very friendly. And I did book quite late in the day, so that was okay. Now, from Alston, we're heading down the, I think it's the Tyne. Yeah, the South Tyne. And what they've done is an old railway line from Alston to Haltwhistle, they've turned into cycle tracks. So it's a really quick 20 mile or so there. Beautiful riding, lots of flowers, lots of bird song, a few people are walking the dogs. Bit of a heritage railway at the beginning, so the track shares the avenue, if you like, with the heritage railway, but that stops fairly soon and you have the track all to yourself. There's just one odd bit over a viaduct where to get to the viaduct you have to go through somebody's garden, but that's all blocked off, you can't do that. And I must have missed a sign that had a detour for cyclists, but the track for pedestrians dropped down under the viaduct, comes back up the other side up a steel flight of stairs, you know, like fire escape stairs. Anyway, I was in the garden and this fella came into the garden with a dog and I'm like, oh, hello, am I in the wrong place? Yes, he says, this is private property. Oh, I said, how do I get onto the viaduct? He said, well, you have to go down there and up them stairs. Except he said it in a northern, much more northern accent, that northeastern accent. It was actually all right. He wasn't too grumpy, to be fair. But it meant going down the hill a bit with my bike. And then I actually took the rear bag off to get it up these steps, because with the rear bag on it, it'd be quite heavy getting up the steps. So I took the rear bag off, which comes off dead easy. It's the aero pack, a tail fin aero pack. Just undo a couple of straps, lift it off in seconds. A little bit more fiddly to put back on, but not the end of the world. And that meant I was back on the viaduct, which led me onto the cycleway without having to do the cyclist diversion. Probably shouldn't recommend that, but it did work okay. Haltwhistle's fine for a brew, and pretty quickly you're into the Keel de Forest. And I remember it was a flipping horrible day, this one. There's a bothy called the Green Bothy that I stopped in for a couple of hours, actually. Had a little bit of a fire because it was horizontal wind and rain. It was foul. But it was a good gravel surface, so I could keep riding. And it just went on and on and on. I thought it would have taken longer to get round the Keel de Reservoir. I went to the east side of it, as the Great North Trail does, and I just thought it'd take forever. But actually, it was really quick because the tracks are really good, in really good order. And as I got to Keel de Village, I crossed the finish line. I thought, hey, I didn't know they were putting this up for me, but I haven't finished anyway. And it turned out that weekend coming was the Riva Raiders gravel event. 1,200 people competing, well, taking part, and over 2,000 entries for it. So you wonder where all these gravel riders are. They're up riding around the Keel de Forest. Now, on the one hand, I think that's brilliant that people are out doing that. That's absolutely superb. So many people out riding the bikes. And it's a really good place for it. It's gravel city, gravel for miles and miles and miles. Probably the best place in England, I would think, for gravel riding. I can't imagine anywhere being better. Not too hilly, good gravel surfaces. It's the place to go for gravel bikers. If you're a mountain biker at all, pretty boring, to be honest. I did drop on one red trail, the Bloody Bush Trail from Keel de Village. And it was okay, it was nice, it was okay. But, yeah, if you want a gravel bike, that's the place to go. But on the journey I was making, I was glad to be on a hardtail, if I'm honest. Next stop, Scottish Border. Really cool to reach Scotland. So I've now cycled through Wales, England and Scotland. Chuffed a bit with that. Still not a great weather. And I think the next day was a drying wind, but a cold northerly drying wind. So although it was drying the trails a little bit and I was beginning to be able to cycle on the mud, cycle on the fields, it was bitter and it was in my face a whole day. So, you know, I said, I think earlier on, there are three variables on a trip like this. It's the bike, the body and the weather. The bike was holding up nicely. A couple of little tweaks here and there, nothing major. The body was feeling strong, feeling fit, but tired. The weather could have been worse, let's be honest. It could have maintained that horizontal wind and rain for days and days and days, but it didn't. So we had drizzle, we had rain, we had hail, I had wind from all directions. But this is Britain, this is April, what do you expect? I booked ahead this hotel that I'm in now because I knew I needed a rest. Tried really hard to find some cycle-friendly accommodation in Edinburgh. Nothing came up on the internet. I was having a really good look around. I just couldn't find anything. Didn't particularly want to go in any old backpackers hostel in Edinburgh because it, perception is a bit full of youths travelling around the world. And to be honest, I needed a day, not necessarily on my own, but I just needed a day where I was just lying down as much as possible, and that's what I've done today. So hence booking the Premier Inn, because they allow your bike in your room and trying to do a bit of washing and trying to bloody dry it with the air conditioning, which is a bit touch and go, even with the modern technical gear that we use. So I've arrived in Edinburgh, which is about halfway in terms of hill climbs, about halfway in terms of kilometres, and tomorrow I'll be heading north. So, hey, I don't know if I'll speak to you again in another week or another couple of weeks, but this is the Bikepacking Podcast. My name is Mike Rain. I'm looking for people to interview when I get home. It's going to be 3 or 4 weeks before I get home. But if you know somebody who would like to interview, then you can get in touch with me. I'm sure there's a way of doing it through the podcast thing, but you can email me at mike@mikerain.co.uk. That's mike@mikerain.co.uk. Thanks for listening, folks. Really appreciate your support with the podcast. Please comment, share and like. See you around now.